Our text is from 1 John chapter 3. These words, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, writing decades after the crucifixion and resurrection and ascension into heaven of Jesus Christ, writing a lifetime, it probably seemed, after having walked with Christ for 3 years and witnessing his countless miracles. Writing towards the end of his life, probably somewhere close to the city of Ephesus, the Apostle John, the last of the apostles, the others all having been martyred, murdered, killed by the world. The Apostle John makes this simple statement that is yet so profound. And that statement is, the reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Who is the us to whom John is referring? Christians, followers of Christ, who through their baptisms into Christ have become sons and daughters of God. Who is the him in that statement, as in that is did not know him? Well, that him is God. God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the point, a very simple point of the verse, put another way, is since the world does not know God the Father, it can't know the sons and daughters of that Father, God. And that's what we are. That's who we are. Beloved, we are God's children now. That's what John writes. Hearkening back to the first chapter of the fourth gospel, which John also wrote, where he noted, but to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So we are, as Christians indeed, God's children now. And as God's children, I think we have come to live in this tension of being the children of God who are not known by the world. And so consequently, we are not acknowledged as such as children of God. Tension? What kind of tension? Well, on our part, despairing, bemoaning the fact, complaining, that the world itself does not know God, that is, that the world does things on a daily basis which demonstrate most definitely that the world does not know God. And this is a frustration for us, because we do. We do. And since we do, in fact, know God, because we are the children of God, it just can simply overwhelm us that so many people around us don't know him and act accordingly. Now, when I was a child, it seems like we as Christians considered this situation that we were in as spiritual unknowns, we could say, and looking with pity on those who did not know God, looking even with love and mercy, we set out to share with those around us our knowledge of God the Father with them. Of course they don't know God. Of course they don't know God, so our thinking at the time. So let's go out and teach them. Let's go out and teach them about God. Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's do that. But now things seem to have changed. And they seem to have changed in a couple of ways. The first I would suggest is that we as children of God have become more sensitive. More sensitive to the antagonism of the world, the world's criticism of Christians, the world's dismissal of Christians, even the world's lack of interest in Christ. And that being the case, we have simply withdrawn into ourselves. Like a small child, a loner, the new kid at a school who gets bullied by the established personalities of the playground, we as children of God have withdrawn into ourselves, wishing simply to be left alone. Here we can think of the prophet Elijah, after having defeated the prophets of Baal, running for his life when a warrant was put out on his head. I alone am left. That's what Elijah cried out to God. Or we can think of David. David, surrounded by those who sought his demise, that section of Psalm 31, because of all my adversaries, I become a reproach, especially to my neighbors. That's what David wrote there in Psalm 31. An object of dread to my acquaintances, those who see me in the street, flee from me. I've been forgotten like one who's dead. I've become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they scheme together against me and plot to take my life. So David, the prophet Jeremiah, who quotes the last verse, of Psalm 31 of David, no less than six times in Jeremiah, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side, as they schemed together against me, plot to take my life. Just leave me alone. Leave me alone. It's what we Christians can think when overwhelmed by the world around us. Especially when we grasp how much is not known of God and even how much is antithetical to God. But do we really want to be, as sons and daughters of God, the kid bullied on the playground of the world who just wants to be left alone? Apparently not. And that has led to a second issue, and that is our desire as Christians actually to be accepted by the world. Accepted by the world as people. Sure, we're the sons and daughters of God, but can't people of the world just like us? Can't the world simply just embrace us? Can't we be a part of the world and enjoy the world and reap the benefits of success in the world? Why are we thinking that way? Why do we feel the necessity to be loved by the world? Why do we want to be accepted by the world? For if we're accepted by the world, doesn't that mean that we, to a certain extent, have become the world? We've become what the world wants us to be? Become sons and daughters of Satan and not of God? Why is it so, it seems? Do we need the world's approval? Do we want the world's approval? Do we even crave the world's approval? For the Word of God, it's really clear here. I mean, it's really clear. In James, we read, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." It's James 4:4. Those words should hit us. Hit us hard. What are we doing? What are we doing? Let's repent. Repent for our desire to be liked by the world, to be relevant to the world, to be a friend of the world, and instead return in faith to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and daily be His friend, the friend of Jesus, the very Son of God. Greater love has no one, Jesus taught us. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Now listen up. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. There it is, right? Words of Christ. The reason the world doesn't like us, the reason the world is not friends with us, the reason the world doesn't know what to do with us is because ultimately we're friends of Jesus. We're sons and daughters of God. We know God. And the world doesn't. So what does that mean but that our relationship to the world is not that of hunkering down in a corner somewhere hoping we are not noticed, nor is our relationship one of a yearning simply to belong. But as sons and daughters of God, our relationship to the world is that of telling the world about God, our Heavenly Father, and how God has worked and continues to work in the world in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, our Savior from the devil, our Savior from our sinful flesh, our Savior from the world. For in Him, in Christ, and in Christ alone, are we rescued from this world, our faith in Him daily, granting us the strength and courage to live in the world by means of the forgiveness of sins which He has won for us on the cross. Forgiveness, which cleanses our consciences, which allows us then to live in the world and interact with the world and speak of Christ to the world without some sort of felt need to belong to it. I'll repeat that. Forgiveness, which cleanses our consciences, which allows us to live in the world and interact with the world and speak of Christ to the world without some sort of felt need to belong to the world. It's not then that as sons and daughters of God, as those who know God, those who are friends of Jesus, that we then stand aloof from the world thinking that we're somehow superior or better or above the world. For our friend Jesus, God Himself, didn't do that. He humbled Himself, setting aside the fact that He was God, and served us. And it's not that we as Christians have the best answer for running the world. The world would just listen to us. For our friend Jesus taught us that His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom. It's not a kingdom of this world. And it's not that we create Christian enclaves, compounds, societies in order to keep the world at bay. For how can we be a light to the world? How can we be the salt of the earth? How can the world hear of our friend Jesus, of God, unless Christians, unless you and me are actually in the world? Yes, just like the world did not know Jesus, so too the world does not know us. But what of it? What of it? Is that really so important? More important, much more important, much, much more important is that the world comes to know our friend Jesus, that the world comes to know God through us telling it about Him. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and confess our Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.